Thank you, Alice. She came right in practice the other day. I said, well, I'm going to drive the bus. Great job. I knew y'all would enjoy that. If you have your Bibles here today, Ephesians chapter 5. And I guess it is appropriate on Valentine's Day that we would be at this text that talks about husband and wives. As best I can remember, this is the third time that I have preached from this text. I try to keep extensive notes of what I preached and when, and I went back and looked. The first time I preached this text was when my daughter was getting married in August of 1999. And I preached it last year at Valentine's. So you that mark your Bibles are saying, well, Wendell, you just preached this a year ago. I was preaching a series on disasters, and we'd just come back from Puerto Rico, and I showed you two pictures from Puerto Rico, two houses that had failed there and collapsed during the earthquake. And I used that kind of as a theme for several weeks of disasters in our lives. And our marriages can be a disaster unless we submit to one another. I also told you the Sunday before that I would tell you how to get a strong-willed woman to submit to you. And you still may be waiting on that. In the sermon that I preached in 1999, I read a list from Billy Graham about what it takes for a marriage to succeed. Here's his list. Mutual respect, genuine commitment, good communication, time and effort, spiritual unity. And all those still apply today. Now, to kind of help us understand what Paul is speaking into here, we need to remember again the culture in Ephesus. The culture at the time of writing, the Ephesians did not honor marriage or women. Actually, they had a low view of women. Now, I told you before that the men of that day many times had many wives and many mistresses. A prayer from that day that a Jewish man prayed went like this. I give thanks to God that he did not make me a Gentile, a slave, or a woman. A woman was not considered a person but a thing, just another one of her husband's possessions. We mentioned before that these are first generation Christians. No real model of what a Christian home looks like, how a Christian husband and wife function together. So they're now faced with the dilemma, and Paul's going to challenge them. What does the Christian life look like to those you live and work with? Because they've never seen it modeled. Paul is going to give us three relationships, three examples in the next three Sundays. The one today will be the husband and wife. The one the next Sunday will be parent and child. And the Sunday after that, it's called master-slave here, but for us, it would be employer-employee. We said last week that submitting is defined in its context as submitting to others according to the authority and order established by God. Submitting to others according to the authority and order established by God. Let me say this before we look at our text. We have equal dignity, but different God-given roles. I want to go back now and pick up the last verse of last week, because I hope you've seen by now that there's great flow in the book of Ephesians. Paul is just not randomly speaking here. When he gives us verse 21 last week, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. He gives us those three examples of submitting. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Then he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hate his own flesh, but nourish and cherish it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this text on Valentine's Day, when sometimes this is the only time we really show expression of love to our wives. We get them a card, sign our names, get them some $3 candy, and move on. I pray, Lord, that our love for them is demonstrated deeper than that. And God, that they will know that we cherish them and love them, and God, we enjoy them. So, Lord, I pray you speak to every home here today, that this will encourage them to model Christian love in their home. And we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's take a moment then and look at the husband-wife relationship. And again, I want to start with the last verse from last week, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let's look closely at that principle here. Submit one to another, whether it be husband, wife, parent, child, master, slave. 1 Peter 5:5 says this, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. We preached last Sunday on a spirit-filled life, and one of the signs of a spirit-filled life is humility. So these submissions all have to do with humility. They follow that theme well, having a humble heart. Again, the umbrella of Ephesians is unity. Our theme of unity is universal, whether it's in the church or in the home. That has to be for us to be successful. So now we're going to see what submission looks like lived out. Remember in verse 21, our submission is out of reverence to Christ, out of fear of disappointing him, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Us men, if we're honest, if we had our way, we would read verses 22 through 24 and maybe a portion of 33. And this is what we want you to hear, wives. Wives, submit yourself and your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Then the portion out of 33, and the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Our first picture is our wives coming like they bow at the altar and bowing down to us. Men, be honest here. That's what the scripture seems to imply. But verses 25 through 33 tells us the kind of man she is to reverence and submit. And men, I hate to tell you this, the women have three verses here and we have nine. Should tell us something. So we got to take these verses as a whole. We are a community of believers. And never more so for the married couple. Bible says we have become one. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as unto the Lord. You'll see every example presented this way. The parent-child, we'll look at that next week, it'll be do it in the Lord. Master-slave, as unto Christ. So that's the model here. You submit as a service to the Lord. Notice it says, wives, submit to your own husband. Now, I'll give you some help here. Not to other husbands or to other men. Your own husband. You never want to forget that both genders are equally created in God's image. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Both are heirs of eternal life. Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you all are all one in Christ Jesus. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. But this submission, if we read it correctly, is for the health and harmony of the marriage. So the marriage will thrive and prosper. This is not to be a shallow, half-hearted submission, but you're to be a true partner, a helpmate in every sense of the word, to the point that we husbands would not be complete without you. We'd just be half of what God wants us to be without our wife. Now, verse 23 talks about Christ being the Savior. We're not the Savior of the wife in the sense that Christ is the Savior of the church. But we are to be the protector, the provider. We are ordained as the stronger vessel there in the partnership. So we do have responsibilities. Now, in verse 24, husbands are not told to submit to their wives, but to love them and to do that right, we have to submit to our wives. Co-partners, equal. Now, a few weeks ago, remember what I read about the culture. Most of these men, first-generation Christians now, had mistresses on the side. Other women, it was the cultural norm. But now Paul says, you throw out the cultural norms. It's going to be different. If not, the wife could say, you want me to submit to this man who has all these other mistresses, has all these other women? If I say anything, he tells me to keep my mouth shut. Keep it shut or I'll bust it shut. I like that language. I don't really. I pick at Kitty about that once in a while. It's just an inside joke. And she's probably heard, you ought to be thankful I've even married to you. And the woman probably thinks this is all he knows. His dad was that way, his dad before him. Man, could I say the caveman days are over? Hitting her over the head at the club and dragging her by the hair is gone. That's not going to work. Now, come on now. Don't even try it. Paul is saying here, don't reflect the culture. Rise above it. You're different now. Love like marriage was intended from the beginning in the Garden of Eden before sin, when the Bible says in Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That's our goal. Christ says there are no cultural norms or excuses for not loving your wife and her alone. We are told to love our wives as Christ loved the church. What did Christ do for the church? gave himself up for the church. It was a self-sacrificing love. This does away with us being a tyrant. Just because she does submit to you doesn't mean you rule over her. Give yourself up for your wife. Do something she wants to do. Now, I wished I'd have figured this out a long time ago. Men, it's simple. Sit down and work a puzzle with your wife. I did that for a couple of nights, and I thought we were courting again. So, Kitty, here's your Valentine. It's that simple. Remember, man, Jacob worked 14 years for Rachel. Surely you can work a puzzle a couple nights. Sometimes you hear someone say, when there's trouble in the home, and I don't know how many times I've heard it, they were just starving for love. If you do that to your wife, you make them vulnerable. Men, don't let that be your wife. I hope nobody ever hears from them. She was just starving for love. Those in authority have responsibility to God and to those God has placed under his authority. We're to love our wives in such a way that we can fully reach their God-given potential. That's how we love them. God wants us to have a glorious marriage. You know, when it goes on to detect, a man's body is important to him, so he takes care of it. He nourishes it. I look at my body and I see it's not perfect and never will be. Neither will our wives be perfect, but we love them anyway. We are to nourish and cherish our wives. They are the weaker vessel. Again, what is the measure of that love? Just as Christ loved the church. We're seeking the highest good for our wives. That's why they submit to us. In a marriage seminar we did here at the church a few years ago, one lady said she knew her husband loved her because he loved God. That's how it works. Don't come in here and act pious and go home and treat your wife like the devil. Remember, our marriages are a reflection of the spiritual relationship between Christ and the church. When people look at your marriage, how do they see that relationship? Do they see bitterness, tension, division, fighting? Do they see just lip service, lack of commitment? Do they see a reciprocal relationship with give and take and respect one for another? What do they see? The bond between husband and wife should be greater than any other, greater than parent-child, greater than the best friend. That has to supersede everything. I'd like to comment on this leaving father and mother. Now, in a wedding, and you've seen them, I've done a lot of sand ceremonies. There's a time you step back and the young lady and the groom, they come and they get a thing of sand that represents their separate families, really their parents. And they take the sand then together and pour it into their own vessel, picturing they have become one. Parents, I want to warn you, be careful when you try to keep pouring sand into their vessel. There's a time they've got to make it alone. The golden rule applies to everything, but it really applies here. Luke 6:36, as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. It applies. Now, I'm not going to argue this, but as best we know, Paul was never married. Now, there are some resources out there that say he was. But best I can determine, Scripture, it's not said that he was ever married. He had been in the trenches for the gospel. He had been involved in a lot of spiritual warfare. But when it comes to the trenches of the marriage, he may not have been there. So let's hear from those who have. A couple of Sundays ago, if we'd had church, I had an insert in the bulletin asking everybody here to write down five things that you would tell your son or daughter that would make their marriage successful. Or five things from your marriage that you feel like has helped you and you want everybody else to know. So in the last couple of weeks, I've just gleaned everybody I can come in contact with, asked them to fill that out for me and give it back to me. Because I was looking for repeated themes, for trends. I did this in 1999 when I preached just maybe the week before or the week after Casey's wedding. I can't remember our daughter's wedding. And I asked some folks in the church some questions. I never will forget what Ruth Simona said about her and Burley. She said, "Sometimes, Wendell, I'll just be in the kitchen, Burley just grab me and we'll just dance across the kitchen floor." I thought that was awesome. So here are some repeated themes for my little survey. I have 3 pages, though, of responses. These are not in the order of importance. Now, the first thing I wrote on mine is laugh a lot. You better be able to laugh in your marriage. You better be able to laugh together. Sometimes you're going to laugh at each other. Laugh. And I've seen that repeated. One said, be happy. Have a really, really, really good sense of humor. I don't know how many more times I could have said really. Laugh as much as possible. Find someone who makes you laugh. Love makes a happy marriage. It is the hardest, easiest thing you will ever do. No matter the struggles, it is worth it. Sense of humor. So that was a repeated theme on most of the papers that were submitted to me. You better be able to laugh. Something else that was repeated. Friends. It says being friends, best friends, be friends, be best friends, marry your best friend. That was repeated over and over. Then I went back and looked at the ones that kind of had to do with being friends. Trust, share thoughts and fear, communication, enjoy each other's interest. Take time to talk. Be loyal. Follow through on sickness and health. Try to understand. Respect, honor, and obey. Choose the words you speak to your spouse and any children God bless you carefully. Words spoken in anger or used to belittle can last a lifetime. Now, if you've been married any length of time at all, you know sometimes you'll say something and it's put away in the ammunition chamber. Now, it can stay there a long time. You never know, though, when they're going to load the gun and fire it. I've told you my story, and I won't tell it again. Kitty hung on to something about 6 months, and bang, I said, boy, kid, you sat on that a long time. And by the way, I was innocent. I got shot anyway. Make an effort to spend time together. Listen. Listen without judging or advice. When things get hard, pull together. Don't pull apart. Always be there for each other. I thought all those related to being friends. Something else I noted, and it was mentioned there, keep communication open. No matter what. know when to speak and when to stay quiet. Timing is everything. Now, I'll give you a good example on timing. The other Saturday at the house, I'd got my honey-do list down. I was bored, and I don't like things out of date in the house. And it had been a while since I'd done it, and Kitty was cooking there in the kitchen. I said, Kitty, I'm going to go through the cabinets and throw away everything that's out of date. And I grabbed about six things, three of them out of date. I was thrilled. The timing wasn't right. I'll tell you that. Those six things went back in the cabinet so fast, I don't know which ones was out of date. It didn't matter. The idea was great. The timing just wasn't there. Make sure the timing's right. Go to church as a family. Too many times in the home, the 10-year-old is making the decision whether we go or not. Can't be. Another repeated theme was money. And this is a marriage breaker. Many times when you counsel, it's because of finances. Here's some of the things that were reported. Give back to God what's rightly His. Do not ever buy a motorcycle, ATV, dirt bike, or old pickup truck without first discussing it with the spouse. Now, I'm sure there's a story behind that. Seek to honor and glorify Him in your marriage, work, and business endeavors. Make tithing a priority, not a second thought. We discuss and agree upon what goals we want to achieve and work together to accomplish them. We discussed and agreed earlier in marriage that we would not overextend ourselves financially with debt. This lesson taught us patience and appreciation for the things God blessed us to be able to purchase. Be able to tithe. Do not spend beyond your means. And you hear me speak about tithing a lot. It grieves me when people does not do that because they miss the blessings of God. You can better enjoy what God has given you if you tithe. Won't have to think, I stole this from God to have this. You can fully enjoy it. So money. Then most importantly, God. That was all over the page. Put God first. Relationship with Jesus, Lord and Savior. Our common bond in Christ. Our witness for our Savior. Remember what or who you promised spouse and God and follow through. Stay in church and around those in Christ. Love and serve the Lord and make Him the center of your marriage. Pray and seek His direction when making any decisions. Always remember that when you made your vows to your spouse, God also heard the vows you made. God has used their example as encouragement to us. Let me read all of it. We are blessed to know many couples who have remained committed in their marriage unto death. God has used their example as encouragement to us. Love God. Go to church. Put God first. Find a Bible-believing church. Put God first. Sharing beliefs in God. Over and over again, certainly that is a repeated theme for a happy marriage. And there were a few others. Share the load. Don't give up. Be willing to try or do something you don't like that spouse enjoys. Forgive. Do not keep score. Give surprises to your spouse. Appreciate what your spouse does around the house. Always say I love you before going to sleep, no matter the situation. Don't talk or quarrel and mad. Speak calmly. Don't yell. You can tell when you kind of hit on a chord, you know what I mean? Be mindful of each other's feelings and moods. Hold each other. Kiss every day. Love each other as if there is no tomorrow. Let your love grow. Always show respect for each other. Don't go to bed without forgiveness. Put your partner's needs before your own. Stop and think before you criticize. Say I love you. Always, always kiss good night. These are what you said was important. And I feel like they all apply. Our ultimate goal, though, is people come to know the Lord. If you're in the home with an unbelieving spouse, your ultimate goal has to be that they be saved. If there are children in your home, the ultimate goal has to be that they be saved. 1 Corinthians 7:16 says, "What knowest thou, O wife, where thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, where thou shalt save thy wife?" Are you living in such a way in your marriage that your spouse does not know the Lord? They will seek him. Are you living in such a way in your marriage that the children in your home see Christ modeled and they want what you have? If not, let's change. Don't let the culture, don't let anybody else influence you any other way. Paul spoke into a tough situation. He said, don't let cultural norms, don't what you've seen in your raising, keep you from being the kind of husband and wife that God intended you to be. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day, and we pray, God, that you'll just speak to hearts, all of us that are married or planned on getting married, or certainly there's application in every relationship, God, that we would reflect the love of Christ. Again, Lord, I pray that as maybe husbands and wives here hold each other's hand and squeeze their hand and look at each other, there's some things they're doing well. And they know that. That's why they're happy. But there might be a few things they can work on and do a little bit better. If it is, God, I pray you help them through. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here this morning, there's any decision that you need to make, we invite you to come. It might be to be a part of this church. We haven't been together now for a long time. And I'm thankful we're back together today. And you may want to come today and say, yes, Lord, I want to be a part of this church. I want to be a part of this fellowship. This is where I want to move forward as a family of believers. You may be here this morning and you need to be baptized and have put that off. We went ready to do a baptism here. Going to be several, I think. Or you've never accepted Christ your Savior. There's words on the screen, but it's really a heart that does this, that does the work. Those words are just your voice and what's already happened in your heart. If that's the case today, let us celebrate with your decision to follow Christ. You come as Roger leads us.
Let's stand together, if you would, please. We're going to sing, "Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross."
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all our healing.
If you're here this morning, we invite you to come. Don't let anything hinder you today. You've been waiting maybe for weeks or months to step forward.
In the cross,
why don't you come? This verse, if God is speaking, you come.
Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star shed its beams around me. In the cross, in the cross,
thank you so much today. It is so good to be back. We pray the weather allows Folks will get more comfortable coming back to church, realize that a lot of folks are still uneasy, but more people are getting their shots and things. So, again, it's totally up to you. We're open. We're ready. We're going to try to get things back open where we can be. Again, we've been a ministry force while we've been closed, and I'm excited about the new chapter now in the church's life. I'm just excited about what God is going to do. It's never going to be the same. We might as well just admit that and realize that. But I think God has a great work for a church that'll just keep pressing on and staying faithful. And you are doing that, and God bless you for that. When we exit, we'll exit out this way. There are offering buckets at the front and back. Online giving is also an option for you. If you can stay and help us wipe the pews off right quick, that is always appreciated so much. So you know the routine. Also, some Sunday schools are back open today, so check with your class, your teacher, and see if they're starting today. All right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we've had to be in your house today, to look into your word. And I pray, God, you help us all be better husbands, better wives, Lord, that we can glorify you in our home. Again, Lord, go with us as we press forward. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, God bless you.